from Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on its 26th day, Wednesday of July 2023. And boy, the month is going by so fast, so very fast. And tonight we have none other than Courageous Kyle on the board.
Hey, Pastor, it seems like we were just doing the 4th of July show.
Yeah, I mean, boom, it's moving fast, isn't it?
And it really is.
No, but I'll tell you what don't move fast, and that's Pastor Joe Larson. Hey, Joe.
I don't know. I moved pretty quick today. Some things you just have to change up a little bit.
I heard you were working that tractor pretty hard. Wouldn't give it much of a break.
Well, until I got it high-centered and stuck, took about an hour to get it out.
People don't understand those large old tractors were easy to get stuck. The newer ones today.
Yeah, well, if you're trying to do, two things at once, which I probably shouldn't have done, and it's a long story.
Yeah.
But everything's well. Nobody got hurt.
Well, you're kind of like Bob Evans in a way. You're down on the farm. But anyhow, let's get right into it. Do you remember the title of the message?
AI versus AUI, artificial intelligence versus absolute ultimate intelligence, or just AI versus God, really.
Right. And let's take a look. Let's start today in Hebrews chapter 4. Read verse 12 and 13.
For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened under the eyes of him with whom we have to do.
All right, so here, coin, for the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, a two-edged sword, obviously what he's referring there is the spoken word and the written word. It's the word of God, both written and spoken, is what he's referring to here, is the two-edged sword. And so that's what each individual prophecy, every individual saying of God, is it not?
That would cover it.
Now, he goes on to say that piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow and the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now, here, it's very, very clear. One, the soul and the spirit, there's a distinction between the soul and the spirit. A person's soul is who he is, huh? His personality, that's who that individual is, isn't it?
Yes, that would be the, just who you are, your personality, whether you're sad, happy, introverted, extroverted, all that.
Now, the spirit, that's our life force, it's that energy, entity, I should say, that's energized by, now, we as Christians, we have our spirit is energized by the Holy Spirit, okay? But for the opposition, their spirit is energized by the opposition, isn't it?
It would have to be by Satan.
Okay, so now, see, only the Word of God, only the Word of God can, well, the spirit and the soul, they operate, Joe, in so much together, so much in concert, that only the spirit of God can discern between the two of them. And that's that two-edged sword. It's very, very powerful. So let me ask you this question here. God's word cannot be broken, is that right?
That's right.
Okay. Now we're talking about AUI, the ultimate intelligence. God is the ultimate intelligence. His word. Look, he spoke the universe into existence with his word, did he not?
Are you there? My throat. Yes, he did.
Okay, so now here, does artificial intelligence, do they have any such weapon? Let me ask you this, okay?
No, nothing similar at all.
Okay, so if God's word spoke the universe into being, now, and God's word, God himself is pre-existence. He existed before time itself existed. And now, and since it's the ultimate power, the ultimate authority, can God's word silence AI? Can it silence AI? Can it put boundaries onto where it can go?
God's word could created the universe. It can destroy the universe, so he can do anything he wants to.
Okay, so now, the word of God comes from the ultimate intelligence, the ultimate power. Where does AI get its intelligence from?
It copies and mimics what man has done, what man has developed, created, or programmed.
So what man has programmed into it, and so its sources depend upon communicating also and learning from outside sources. Now let me ask you a question.
It's kind of like it has to learn from its parent, and its parent is mankind, and mankind is flawed, so it has to be flawed. When we're born spiritually, we're born again by the Spirit of God, and made that new creature, so there's a huge difference.
Well, how do you want to know one of the ways that you could, of course we know, but that you know for absolute certain when you caught AI with false intelligence, and that is AI was asked, was there election fraud in 2020? And the answer was no.
No, of course not.
Okay. And so there, that tells you everything you need to know about AI.
All the media in the world wants to ignore that and doesn't want to go there. It's not going to be in any of the stuff that gets programmed into AI.
And so all the media, what they call mainstream media, is they continue to lose credibility. They don't know what to do now with this, all the more information coming out. Everything they denied. Now they don't know. They got to walk some of this stuff back. And so it's just unbelievable how.
Or in the case of some of them, they just keep parting the line. What's his name? Having a senior moment. The biggest liar that kept going after Trump and telling all the... I've got evidence.
Adam Schiff.
Adam Schiff, he was going through today talking about how the Republicans and coming up with quackery, fake, no proof. They want to do went after Donald Trump. I can see him talking, and I can't quite bring the words to it. They were looking at Mayorkas going after him, and what is it called? They want to, like they did Trump twice, tried to. He was talking about the Republicans are trying to impeach without any proof. He's walking down there. It's It was so funny. They don't have any evidence. They don't have any proof. They're trying to impeach, you know, without proof. And yet, who was the one that, for all those years, screamed, "I've seen the proof. I've got the proof that Trump is in Russian collusion."
What a liar. What a liar.
It just so blew me away. I couldn't even put my head around it, that this man continues to lie, no matter what the truth, no matter anything presented out there. He just keeps doing the party lying. It's just incredible. I just cannot believe one person could lie that much, that often, and still keep a straight face. It's unbelievable to me.
My advice to Adam Schiff not only is to stop your lying right now, but you and many, many of your fellow Democrats, keep your hands off little boys. Keep your hands off of little boys, okay? Adam knows what I'm talking about. Anyhow, here... When we going after now, AI has absolutely limited abilities. His abilities, like Satan himself, is Satan's abilities limited by God?
Yes.
And so, here AI's abilities, they're limited. And again, let me ask you this, okay? Is God omniscient?
Yes.
So God knows what we're thinking before we even think. The Lord Jesus already, he knew what they were going to ask him before they asked him. He knew what
they were
thinking.
He knew about every one of us before we were created.
Before the foundations of the earth. So let me ask you this.
Yeah, before there was creation, he knew each and every one of us, who would accept him, who would reject him, how we would live.
Do you think that God is fully aware of AI's every, before AI comes up with his intelligence briefings, if you will, does God know exactly what they're going to do?
Sure. He knew how they were going to create it, when they were going to do it, how they would do it, the steps involved. Yeah. Everything.
So can God set boundaries and limit AI to what AI can do and think?
Yes, he can mess with the Gavurkians and put some mud in the gears and gravel in the gears, shut it down. He can do anything he wants.
All right,
or
so
he
now,
can let it go and let us suffer the consequences of our trying to act like gods.
Now, the people that programmed AI, were they the kind of people that you would trust, or were they the kind of people, for the most part, believed in having... so-called science, so-called, is their God?
That would probably be the case, although there might be some that are working just a supercomputer, a way to, you know, help mankind. I don't know, but it sounds like a place that a God-fearing person wouldn't want to go.
Okay. Just recently, you had a meeting of... all of the big wigs at Twitter, YouTube, and all of the others out there about how to set up boundaries or set up precautionary measures to be able to monitor and to keep AI, you know, corralled so it can't get out of control, it can't turn on the people. Now, let me ask you this. These people, how legitimate do you think these people from TikTok, from Twitter, whatever it is, from all of these, how legitimate do you think they are? I mean, do you think not only do we not trust them, do you think that they trust each other?
Well, there's no honor among thieves. If you want to know what something is going to react like, look at the past history. They deceived us by what? The sin of omission. They hid facts. They hid truth. They doxed people. They went after anybody that didn't agree with them. They put out false narratives. So what have they done that would make any person think that they are... you know, is the leopard going to change his spots? Is he going to wake up tomorrow morning and all of a sudden there are no spots in the leopard? I don't think so.
Well, you know, not to those of us, you know, that are biblically literate. The Bible tells us those that, you know, that have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we can discern these things. We understand. Now, the world out there has been indoctrinated not by the Word of God like you and I have been, by the Word of God, but by NBC, ABC, CBS. And the world out there is kind of clueless. They're la-la landers. They're walking around, and their indoctrination goes by what they're told, you know, by NBC, ABC, CBS, by the so-called mainstream media.
It's for them.
Right.
They don't have to think. They just listen to what goes on, and that's the narrative of they think of the majority of Americans, which it isn't. And so that's what they believe because they want to be with the in crowd. They want to be on the right side of things.
I remember
the progressive side,
an interview, and I believe it was at Sally Stahl, where she was interviewing somebody, and they questioned her, and she said, "Our job is to tell you what to think and why you think it." In her opinion,
was quite a while ago, but yeah, they actually told the truth for some reason. I'm not sure why, but you're right. It was the truth.
And so, but when it comes to the mainstream media, have you ever known the truth and the narrative to be one of the same?
The truth and the narrative? No, they're usually diametrically opposed.
You're right about that. Hypocrisy is unbelievable. Now, turn to Matthew 19 and read me verse 26.
All right, 19, verse 26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible."
Okay, so here, with God all things are possible. Obviously, he was talking about who then can be saved. Can a rich man get into heaven? And Jesus was said, "Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter the kingdom of heaven." But because what was significant about that was, Joe, in those days, the Jewish community, they believed that if you were wealthy, very wealthy and healthy, that was because God loved you. If you were poor and a beggar, it's because God didn't love you. That's one of the main things that they believed. And here the Lord Jesus come, and he turned that up on its head.
They got that completely wrong. It was kind of like the Catholic Church for a couple hundred years. You can you donate enough money to the church, the priest could pay your loved one out of hell or pray them, keep them from going to hell.
Yeah.
There's been so many more. There's been more lies about faith by the people that claim it.
Well, verse 25, it says that when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" Because it was contrary to what they've believed all their lives, what they've been taught. So now, here Jesus said, with God all things are possible. Now, if God, who cannot lie, said all things are possible, then that means that God's power has no limitations at all, does it not?
No limitations whatsoever.
Now, throughout the scripture, we see
the limitation God has is when he says something, makes a promise, he has to keep it. I mean, he does keep it. He cannot lie. He cannot change his mind, but that's the only thing. If he says this is the way it is, that shall be forever.
Well, one of the reasons, Joe, for that is the fact that he speaks thing into his what his word becomes reality. The moment he speaks it, it becomes now. Here, one of the things that we go through Scripture, we see God, in many cases, turning the enemy upon itself. He turns the enemy upon itself, and we see that happening in many, many cases. And, you know, the heavens roar with the laughter of God when they said, we will fight and stand against the God of Israel. And the heavens roar with God's laughter. And remember what it says.
Gideon and his army, this very small army, just doing what God told him to do. Basically, the army turned on themselves and really destroyed themselves.
Okay, so now let me ask you this question. Does God have the ability, and is he likely to turn AI upon itself?
I don't know if he's likely. He sure can. I don't know. Sometimes I think, you know, we do stupid things, God lets us go ahead and do it and suffer the consequences.
Well, yeah, I mean, yes, but I mean, ultimately, what I'm talking about,
ultimately,
will God turn...
It messes up what God's plan, you know, it cannot mess up God's plan, so he'll put a stop to something.
It will self-destruct. It will go after itself. Turn over to Matthew 6 and read me verse 8.
Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him.
Okay, so now, here, again, we're going back to God's omniscient. Now, God knows what we're going to ask him before we ask him, okay? He knows that actually what we were going to do before we were born, before we existed.
Right. He knew what tonight's show would be, what we'd topics we'd have, what the Bible study. Yeah, he knew it all before we did the show.
He knew exactly how I was going to pray and what I was going to pray for. Didn't
and he knew out there who would be listening tonight. Every person listening, he knows who they are.
Okay, so again, that takes us back to quite an advantage. You know, I have here on my property, there's a pavilion where we have church functions, and we baptize people out here and church picnics, so on and so forth. But the actual word for pavilion is a war room. It's the war room. That's where the generals all would meet in the pavilion to strategize. And Scripture says when Satan and his generals meet in their war room, God sits in on it. He's in the midst of them, okay? So it's really hard.
Since he is everywhere, right? So he has to be there.
So, I mean, it would really be difficult to plan your strategy when the enemy's setting in on the planning, right?
I would think, yeah.
So that kind of gives God a rule.
How are you going to keep any secrets from him, yeah.
So when it comes to the matchup of AI versus AUI, there's not much of a matchup, is there?
No. Nope, he knows what's going on. He knows what programs are going to run, what the outcome of the program's going to be, reactions to it. I mean, he knows it all before it ever happens.
All right, we're going to have to.
The people I've talked to, they have trouble with that. They cannot conceive that he has that kind of knowledge, power, all-knowing, all-powerful. But he tells us so many places he knows ahead of time. He knows what we're going to say and do and who will.
Here's what I know. We're going to a break.
Read his words. Heed his signs. Can't you see these are the times? Earthquakes, famines, and pestilence are all on the rise. The love of man is waxing cold, just like the way that he foretold. With all these things now happening before our eyes, can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings? Rid up your minds to be believing, prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. When he comes in the clouds, each and every knee shall bow, every ear shall hear him, every eye shall see. Fire will flash as lightning shines from east to west.
Son of Man be? Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning? Rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings. Get up your minds to be believing. Prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Our Savior and Deliverer and Redeemer, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, El Shaddai, Yahshua, hallelujah. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning? Rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings. Gird up your minds to be believing. Prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of.
I'm Gretchen with the Education Fund of Right to Life Action Coalition of Ohio. A yes vote on Issue 1 protects Ohio's Constitution from being shredded by special interests. A yes vote on 1 raises the bar to amend Ohio's Constitution from a weak, simple majority of 50% plus 1 to a strong majority of 60%. A yes on 1 requires signatures from voters in all 88 counties instead of just 44. Voters in all 88 counties will then determine if proposed amendments appear on the ballot. The League of Women Voters Ohio and the Ohio Democrat Party oppose Issue 1 and yet require a 60% vote to amend their constitutions. Why is Ohio's constitution held to a lower standard than theirs? A yes vote on Issue 1 ensures fairness and protects Ohio's constitution.
All righty, we are back. And, folks, let me just add to what she was saying, Gretchen. Gretchen, by the way, is a wonderful lady. And the ACLU, now, to us, hypocrisy is repulsive. The Lord Jesus said, woe to you hypocrites, woe unto you hypocrites, woe unto you hypocrites. The hypocrites got more woes than the lawyers. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, I got to tell you this. You get three woes and you're out. You're in trouble. Now, the ACLU demands a 66% super majority. You hypocrites, you. The Democratic Communist Party in Ohio demands a 66% super majority. Oh, you hypocrites. You hippie hypocrites. The League of Women Voters demands a 66% super majority. The NAACP, 66%. Now, these are, woe unto you hypocrites, woe unto you hypocrites, woe unto you hypocrites. The NEA, a 75% supermajority. Planned predators, the most evil, walking, creeping, crawling, cancerous, diseased, evil, death-dealing organization the world has ever known, 66%. And the Ohio Education Association, a 75% supermajority. Right now, with all those hypocrites, they don't want us to have more than a 51%. So, folks, let me tell you something. It's up to you out there, you folks out there listening to us. We gotta win this, and I know you folks nationwide, this involves you, too, and all you other states that were in there, because what they're doing here, if they believe if Ohio could topple, it'll be a domino effect. And so here, we have to win this. And Joe, I'm going to tell you this. If we fail, if we don't win this, and you could take it right back to the pulpit. You could take it right. Now, I've been talking to some of these other pastors, And so far, all of them, they're doing like we are doing. Of course, these are in Bible churches. We know the apostate church, the World and National Council of Churches, they're actually liberal, you know, satanic. Most of the world, United Church of the Antichrist and the Episcopal, all of those have gone. They've gone off to the underworld, to Satanism virtually. But anyhow, folks, again, you pastors out there, you people that are listening to me, you need to, when you go to church, tell your pastor, look, you need to stand in that pulpit and encourage the people. From Genesis to Revelation, God's Word, the Bible teaches resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. And the one thing, Joe, that God demanded more than anything else from Genesis to Revelation is obedience. You guys, you folks out there, you need to go to that pastor and tell him he needs to find the courage and the integrity to speak up and tell you to motivate the church to get out and vote yes on issue one. And if he tells you, well, I don't get involved with politics, you tell him I'm not involved with his church, and I would get out of there as quick as I can and knock the dust off my feet. And when you tell your pastor that, if he has a problem with that, the church number is 440-338-1367. At 440-338-1367. If he has a problem with him, have him call me, because we definitely need to talk. But anyhow, got to tell you about tomorrow night. I know you say, well, Pastor, you're passionate about this. Listen, for the last 50 years, I've fought with everything I have to save babies. We've saved a lot of babies, to save the elderly. We've done, it's been a battle, a real battle. It's been a fight, but the cause is a righteous cause. The cause is a righteous cause, folks. And tomorrow night, there's a righteous cause. Truth and Light Town Hall. Truth and Light Town Hall. Be prepared to defeat Ohio's pro-abortion ballot initiative. And here, there's going to be three presenters, three sessions, call to action here in Northeast Ohio. And that's going to be at the Chardon Christian Fellowship, 401 South Hamden Street, Chardon. The zip is 44024. Again, tomorrow from 6 to 7:30. 6 to 7:30. Lord's willing, I plan on being there tomorrow myself. And because I'm going to have a lot of friends there. One, my cousin who I grew up with pastors that church. And you're going to have three presenters. Linda Tice, who I've known for 50 years, a wonderful, wonderful lady, pro-life. She's given her life to saving babies. Liz Kent, very same. And also Mark Harrington. And Mark is the founder and the president of Created Equal, a pro-life educational outreach organized based on in Columbus, Ohio. And he takes his young people, what a wonderful job he does, him and Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer, they do a tremendous job in teaching young people how to be Christian activists. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing, ministry that they have. And so, anyhow, try to show up there tomorrow night. There will be yard signs available, and there should be some of these magnetic signs left. We have to win, folks. This is very important. It's about one. If we lose this, that would eliminate all of the pro-life legislation that we've passed over the last 50 years. Two, it will remove all parental rights. You'll have no parental rights here. This is evil. Now, they've been running these ads on television, and they call themselves We the People. It's not. It's them, the liars. Them, the liars, okay? They're lying in their ads. They're lying through their teeth. They're wicked people, folks. And so you need to show up. Our God has been dishonored through lack of courage in the so-called church. It's time to stop that. It's time to stand up. And like Christian soldiers with your eyes upon the cross. And there
well,
you go, Joe.
Pastor, there have been so many lies. You and I have spent most of our time explaining the lies of different bills, different venues, different articles. The left has no conscience. It lies are a part of it, and the people just have to realize that most everything they hear on a daily basis are lies to what influence them to steal their vote, to take away our freedoms, to give government more power. We see right now what Biden's bragging about the economy. Well, look at all the jobs. Well, guess where all the jobs are created? In government. And when these people hire on to government, they join a government union. And when you're a member of a government employee union, you tend to vote for things that increase your paycheck and give you job security. I mean, the whole thing is about power and control, and the left lies, steals, and cheats to get power. It's that simple. So they're going to say anything they can to confuse the voter, to get you to vote the wrong way. And they've been doing it for so many years. You and I have been preaching on this for so many years, I can't even count them. I know, you know, you've been doing it for about 50 years. So this one of those times, don't listen to the advertisements. They always try and lead you astray. I've just seen it all my life, and that's a fact.
Well, right now we've had the highest interest rates we've had in over 22 years. And the only time they were higher is when Jimmy Carter was in office there, when they really were...
Really high, yeah.
Yeah. But
I remember 19% to 21%. Thank you, Jimmy. That was wonderful.
Yeah, wasn't many people buying homes then, were they?
No, not unless they could save up and buy cash, because they couldn't. You know, the size of the payment on even a cheap house was incredible.
Well, the pedophile in chief, Biden, overrules Pentagon, and he nominates the first woman to head the Navy. Now, check this out. Even Austin, okay, even Austin has said no, and he's Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, that woman's not qualified, that he should go with Admiral Samuel Papero. Mm-hmm. But Joe Biden says...
Commander of the Navy's Pacific Fleet.
Yeah, but Joe Biden says no. What qualifies her is that she's a woman.
Right. We've
Boy, that's
by votes. We're going to make a woman. We're going to put women in, transgenders in. We're going to put sodomites in. We're going to get every minority out there to what? Win votes.
So if she was, let's just say, a lesbian, midget, minority with AIDS, Would that make her the ultimate qualification?
That would probably push her right up to the top. I don't know anything about there wasn't much information on this Admiral friend Chetty, except she's got to be pushing diversity and all the different things that Biden wants.
Do you know why so many Navy SEALs and Green Berets left the military? Is because when they brought the women in, they had to lower the standards. They had three or four that they wanted to make Navy SEALs, and they had to lower the standards three times before they could finally qualify. And then they finally said, the heck with it, just, you know, give them, just let them in, okay? But you see, isn't that more important than having a military that's effective?
Sure, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. We're going to have a politically correct military that is a result of social engineering, and where people become the best they can be as far as their sexual orientation and their diversity go. But none of that has anything to do with fighting wars, defending the nation, and it's about the dumbest thing I can think of.
All right. So now, if you think that people that doing what Joe Obama Biden is doing, he's doing it for one or two reasons. He's either absolutely crazy or he's purposely trying to destroy our military. Which one? Or do you think it's both?
I think it's both. One, it's purposely destroying the military. But I think he's got dementia now so bad he just does what he's told, read the cards. I'm not sure he totally understands what he's doing at all anymore. He used to be a wicked, evil man, but he's degenerated past the point. I wonder, you know, if he totally understands everything anymore, which is even worse.
All righty, there you go. Republican spending bills would stop funding abortions and defund Planned Predators. I think that's the greatest idea I've heard in a long time, to defund the most evil.
300 and what is it? I mean, it's almost $400 million they get of our taxpayer money so they can kill a child of God. It's a past time. It's many, 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 many years past time.
Well, we had the Hyde Amendment, and then when Reagan was in, he defunded them, and Trump went to defund them, and now we've got to get back. We've got to take our country back, and we've got to defund these evil, wicked people.
Well, I wanted to add, you were talking about that Biden overruling the Pentagon. There's a story about the Pentagon out there. There was a Gold Star family, one of the families of the people that died in the bad retreat there from Afghanistan. They were forced to pay the body of their son after the Pentagon changed the policy. Well, what happened? One of the lawmakers, Corey Mills from Florida, is a veteran, and he was in a meeting with some of the families of the fallen 13, and he got enraged because he learned the Department of Defense had placed a heavy burden on family Marine Corporal Sergeant Nicole L. And they were forced to find funding in the thousands of dollars to move her body to her final resting place. She was supposed to go to Arlington, and they've changed the Department of Defense, declined to pay for it, because last year they had made an amendment to the National Defense Authorization Act, and they just... Fortunately, some people came in and came up with the $60,000 to move the body to National Cemetery there at Arlington. But this was, you know, our fallen heroes are supposed to be flown for service, and if they're to be laid to rest at Arlington, they've always been sent there by the government. And now the Biden administration snuck in a change. So, you know, there they go again. They love our veterans. They love the transsexuals, the transvestites. They love the sodomites. But somebody dies in a combat action, I'll let the family pay the $60,000. What the heck? They make so much money in the military anyway, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, but see, the thing of it is they don't really know if you... If you're one of those trans things, you don't really, you could join the military, get all the benefits, and never worry about having to go to war. You know, this is how sick it has become. And I could just see.
The military used to come from the heartland, from the farms and the countryside. And, it was the bulk of the military were Christian, Bible believing, Christian men. And, from the rural America. And now those people don't want to go serve in this new woke military. And fathers are telling sons, grandfathers are telling their grandchildren, until they go back to defending America and standing for the Constitution, a lot of people are not going to go back, not going to join.
Well, you know, when you picture people like MacArthur and Patton and Eisenhower, these others, I mean, generals standing out there, and I mean, right out, going out, leading their troops, and then you picture Austin and Millie and drag queens as drag queens. This is what they promoted. I mean, just unbelievable. Who would have ever thought our military would, this would happen to it? I mean, it would
a
be
a recruiting poster with a, drag queen doing a, sexy poses for recruiting. That right there, that was it. Hey, there's something else that'll get you. Do you know anybody that's a member of the Daughters of the American Revolution?
I don't know. No, I don't. I remember the organization.
Right?
We had them. We had them on the air some years ago, but
yeah,
I didn't.
We did. For about 120 years, the DAR has brought female descendants of the Revolutionary War heroes, and their duty was to promote historic preservation, education, patriotism, and all, promote good stuff about America. Well, it's being torn apart because they had passed an amendment in the group's bylaws in June, struck out a line that said, provided an applicant for charter membership is personally acceptable to the chapter. So the amendment, they added a line, they took that out and said, the DAR cannot discriminate on the basis of gender, religion, or, wait for it, sexual orientation. The president came out and said, well, we had to do this because it was necessary to preserve the 501c3 tax-exempt status. If we don't allow guys that dress like girls that think they're a female, and they'll lose their tax-exempt status. So here we have one of the very old organizations, very patriotic, God, family, country, being torn apart. People are canceling their membership. They're jumping there. They're saying, I'm not going to be a part of this. And there is a big brouhaha going on. And tax-exempt status isn't worth having when you destroy all the values that your organization stands for. If you have to destroy the very basic premise of your organization, there's not much use having it. You know, stand and fight, folk. America, you know, what they need to do is stand and fight and say, no, we're not going to allow these people in, and we're still going to go along and apply for our status, and we'll fight it in court. And, you know, I'm just getting so tired of people not willing to take a stand, not willing to fight.
Well, Joe.
We always give in to the enemy.
Joe, there's a very good reason why we are not 501c3. See, we understand the difference between a church and a corporation, Joe. There's a real difference.
And we happen to be a New Testament church, right?
That's right. We're an actual church. We're not a corporation. See, people don't understand that. It's like, you know, today if you feel like if you say, well, I feel like we're a church, but if you've applied for a 501c3, you've agreed with the state. Here, the Bible teaches this. The church, Joe, is the living body of Christ. It's the living body
that's
of Christ.
It's pretty plain, isn't it? We are lively
When you apply for a 501c3, you become a corporation. Corpus means non-living, creation of the state. Now, can you be both the living bride of Christ, the living body of Christ, and a non-living creation of the state at the same time?
No. Those two, they are totally diametrically opposed, folks. I mean, just about as opposite as you can get.
Okay, so in that, when you see that, if you take a look at, the church, here's the church government, very simple. Christ and Christ alone is the head of the church. Christ and Christ alone. You've got the pastor, the under-shepherd of the local church, the elders and the deacons, and then the assembly. Now, under the 501c3, the state is your head. The state and the pastor, if you look at that, they use out of Black's Law.
He's an agent of the state.
He's an agent. There's two definitions. The primary definition is intercessor between the state and the church, and the secondary is a spy for the state against the church. Okay? And so, but a lot of people don't understand it. It's to say, well, I know I've signed that contract. I know I've agreed in contract with the state, but I don't feel like we're a corporation.
Yeah,
I feel like we're a church.
We're no different. We haven't had to change anything. Yes, you have. Just signing the paper claiming you are something else, saying you are a corporation, a dead body owned by the state, is really a big deal. It's not just a line on a piece of paper.
Absolutely. Judge Charles Eskridge of the Southern District of Texas in Houston. He's an honest judge. Can you believe that there's an honest judge now? Well, you won't find any of those in Washington, D.C., will you? Do you think you'd find one?
Like hen's teeth. Maybe they'll find hen's teeth in D.C.
Do you think you would find one in New York City? One honest judge in New York City.
That might be kind of hard. It might be theoretically possible.
Let me tell you what he did. He ruled this against the Satanic Temple claim. Okay. They claimed, let me read it to you here. The Satanic Temple claims that abortion, that aborting unborn babies is a beloved essential ritual that allows and the laws that prohibit it infringe on their First Amendment right to practice their religion. This is what the Democrats have said. Now, the unofficial official religion now of the Democratic Party is Satanism. And so the Texas law requiring informed consent is a problem interpreting their ceremonial duties, is what the Wicked says.
Well, let's go back. I want to interrupt you. The U.S. Supreme Court, back in the Commonwealth versus Nesbitt, Ludenmiller versus the people, identified actions in which the government did have legitimate right to intrude upon religion. These activities included human sacrifice, polygamy, bigamy, concubinage, incest, infanticide, parricide, and anything that was an advocation and promotion of immorality. Such acts, even if perpetrated in the name of religion, would be stopped by the government by law, since, according to the court, they were subversive of good order and were overt acts against good order. One of the early, back 1800 court cases, U.S. Supreme Court made it quite clear that you couldn't just do something bad and call it religion.
It wouldn't be stopped by this very, very, very corrupt federal government, I can tell you that right now.
Apparently, they always talk about precedents and court rulings, but it's amazing whenever they have one of their rulings, you never hear them quote some of these old rulings that you and I quote on the radio.
I hear you.
And we're not attorneys. We seem to find the stuff. I wonder why their court clerks don't seem to come across these things.
Well, remember,
look.
Remember what Jesus said, woe unto you lawyers.
Lawyers.
Woe unto
yeah.
you lawyers.
Whoa. I think he said it three times.
He made that statement to the hypocrites, too. He made it very, very clear. So this is what you have. In fact, remember, there were to be no lawyers holding office in the government, the federal government, but they're there now. The entire Senate's made up of them. All right, we're coming up to a break. When we come back from the break, I'm going to introduce a clip. You'll want to listen to this clip. It's kind of what we've been telling you about Big Pharma for a long, long time. Be right back after this. Don't go away. There's a whole lot more to come, and we'll have open the phone lines later. Be right back after this with more.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns.
What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.